Hanukkah to everybody, and welcome back. We have a Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Hanukkah on Megillah, where he writes very famously, Mitzvah Ner Hanukkah, when we talk about the mitzvah of lighting the candles on Hanukkah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. The Rambam says, for some reason, this is considered to be a very beloved mitzvah, which is not something that the Rambam generally writes about many other mitzvahs HaTorah that we perform throughout the year. However, here he does write that. V'tzarech adam lehizar ba, a person has to be very careful to observe the mitzvah as best as they can. Kidei lehondia hanes, the objective of the mitzvah is that we should be able to publicize the miracle to those around us and those outside in the street. Ulahosif b'shvach hakel v'hodaya lo, and it should push us to come to a point where we praise and thank Hashem. Al hanisim sha'asalanu. So it's very nice that we say al hanisim, says the Rambam, and it's very nice that we light the candles, but do we actually make time on Hanukkah to think about the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us in our lives and to praise Him and thank Him for everything that we are so blessed to have in the lives that we live? So one major question that is asked every year is, what is the nature of women's obligation in the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros Hanukkah? And that's a very complicated question, because it doesn't only mean what is the nature of an obligation. Let's say we would all be retired and we're all home and we come home at the right time for Hadlaka and everyone stands around and lights their menorah. That's one question. What about when my wife is in the house and I'm still in the office, I'm not coming home till later? So this has many different avenues that you can go down. But just basically, the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Chavtes, Kol mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. Whenever we have a mitzvah that is time-bound, that can only be performed in a particular time in the year, we assume anashim chayavin v'nashim peturas. We have an assumption that men have an obligation to perform those mitzvahs, but women would be peturas. Women would not have an obligation because, not really clear what the because is, Major Machlokes HaRishonim explaining why that is the case, but generally that is the assumption. Now, there are a number of exceptions to the rule, and if you would ask someone, how many exceptions to the rule are there? Everybody knows, yeah, there are some exceptions. There aren't that many that are actually the rule itself. There aren't that many mitzvahs that this actually applies to. In the end of the day, the Gemara says a rule, but the rule applies almost nowhere. The exceptions to the rule are far greater than the rule itself. So the rule itself applies by tzitzis, and by tfilin, by tkiyas shofar on Rosh Hashanah, by kriyas shma, by sukkah, by lulav, sfiras haomer, and bris mila. Those are the only ones that fit into the rule, which means the overwhelming majority of the mitzvahs HaTorah that we have to observe as men, women have an equal obligation to us as well. And when we say that a woman is exempt from a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, that means when you have one of these cases that we describe, but everything else, they would have an obligation to perform. We have a number of mitzvahs midirabbanan that the Gemara describes as well, as to whether or not women should have the obligation to observe and fulfill those mitzvahs, or perhaps they are exempt. So the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Tzadi Tes, that the Chachamim made an institution that every year on the Leil HaSeder we should drink 4 cups of wine. And Rashi there writes, it's Keneged Dalad Lashona Shel Geula, to remind us of the process of Geula, Vahotseisi, Vihitzalti, Vigaalti, Vilakachti. That's what the Dalad Kosas are about. There the Gemara writes in Daf Kufches, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Nashim chayavas ba'arba kosas halalu. Even though you can only drink the 4 cups of wine on Leil HaSeder, there is no meaning if you're going to get up on one night of Hanukkah and drink the 4 cups of wine. That has no relevance to the mitzvah at all. You can do it, but it has nothing to do with the mitzvah. If you're going to get up on any other night of the day of the year and start drinking 4 cups of wine, it does nothing. So it's certainly a time-bound mitzvah. And yet the Gemara says, although it's a time-bound mitzvah, women have an obligation to perform that mitzvah, mishum, because we know by the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, by Yitzias Mitzrayim and all the Makos and the Shibud and everything else, the women were just as equally involved as the men were, and therefore we assume since this mitzvah of Dalet Kosas was instituted to commemorate that great miracle, we all have an obligation equally, both men and women, to make that commemoration. We have a discussion in Maseches Shabbos between the Rishonim. The Mordechai and other Rishonim discuss, what is the reason why we have an obligation to eat 3 meals on Shabbos? Why do we have to have 3 meals on Shabbos? Where does that come from? So they have a major conversation about this, and the Mordechai writes as follows, Heishiv Rabbeinu Tam l'Ramosha miFantaisa. I don't know where Fantaisa is, I assume it's somewhere in France. So Rabbeinu Tam writes to his friend Rabbeinu Moshe, Dinashim chayavas b'shalosh sudas b'shabbos min haTorah. Women have an obligation to eat 3 meals on Shabbos just like men do. Why should that be the case? It's a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. You cannot eat three meals on a Wednesday and assume that you have fulfilled the mitzvah. Obviously, it's only reserved for Shabbos. He says, because the whole mitzvah of three meals on Shabbos was instituted because of the great miracle of the man that fell for the Jewish people in the desert. Af hein hayu ba'osa ha'neshal. You read this haman. The women were also a part of that great miracle of the man falling every day and providing for them. And therefore, they have an obligation to make this kind of remembrance as well. The same way we find by Dalet Kosas, we find once again, says Rabbeinu Tam, by this mitzvah of three meals on Shabbos. And finally, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos. What? So how does he say it's Daraisa? So most say that that means that it's based off the psukim of Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. That's what the pasuk says. He doesn't really mean Daraisa. How could it be? But the basic premise is that men and women equally share this obligation because we assume this is something to commemorate a great miracle that they were also considered a contributing part of as well. So the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Chav Gimel, in the second parak of Shabbos, the Gemara there has many, many discussions about the laws of Hilchas Chanukah. How does it fit into Masechet Shabbos? Because there we talk about Halakas Neiros Shabbos. And once we're talking about Halakas Neiros Shabbos, the Gemara there goes on a tangent to talk about Halakas Neiros Chanukah and all the halachos. So there the Gemara says that Isha Vaday Madlika, a woman has an obligation, although this is certainly a time-bound mitzvah and you cannot fulfill it any other time in the year, a woman has an obligation to observe it because Af Hein Hayu Ba'osa Hanes. The women were equally involved in the miracle, and Rashi there writes maybe they were even more responsible for the miracle of Chanukah, as we know the story of Yehudis, who was a woman, a very courageous woman who actually helped out very much in the time of the Hashmonaim. So therefore the Gemara says women share this obligation equally to men, and they would also have to light the Neiros Chanukah. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tav Reish Ayin Hey, the Mechaber writes, Isha Madlekes Ner Chanukah, a woman has an obligation to light the Ner Chanukah, She'af Hi Chayev Ezba, because she shares the obligation equally to men, and she therefore has to do the same as the men do. Says the Magen Avram, even if it means that the woman is going to be the one designated to do the mitzvah on behalf of others, certainly she can do so, because the same way a man is able to fulfill the mitzvah for others in the home, so too a woman who shares the obligation would also be able to fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of others. So there's a discussion in the El Yerabah. The El Yerabah lived in the 1600s, he passed away in 1712. So the El Yerabah writes, well, I'm wondering, what about a married woman? Maybe all of this discussion that the Mechaber has is only talking about a woman who's living in her own house and has no other family members. But what about a married woman? What would you say about the status of a married woman whose husband is going to be lighting Neiros Chanukah as well? Does she also have an obligation, or would you say that she is able to fulfill her obligation via her husband? Now, just to be clear, the Gemara says unequivocally that everybody would agree that the Iker Mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah is Ner Ishu Beso. As long as one person lights in the house, that would be sufficient. That would fulfill the mitzvah for everybody. However, we have generally adopted the view, Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin, we try to have everybody light as much as we can if we're able to afford it. And the question here is, would a married woman whose husband is going to light at home as well, would she also have to light her own Neiros Chanukah, or perhaps can she rely on her husband and that is good enough for the two of them? So the El Yerabah writes, well, we have a concept in Chosha Mishpah that is referred to as Ishto Kegufo, which means when you have people who come to a Beis Din, you have people who come to testify about each other, we assume that a husband and a wife certainly cannot testify for each other because Ishto Kegufo, a husband and wife's relationship with one another is so close that we assume the husband and the wife are one entity. And therefore, in Shulchan Aruch Chosha Mishpah, we apply that to Hilchas Beis Din. And therefore, writes the El Yerabah, based off of that, we should apply that principle to our case as well. And we should say that if a woman's husband is going to be lighting the Neiros Chanukah, Ishto Kegufo would apply, and therefore a woman would have no obligation to go off on her own and light her own set of Neiros Chanukah. The Machzis HaShekel, there in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, he lived right after the El Yerabah, so he probably saw the El Yerabah, and finds this very troubling, and he says, why would that be the case? Why would you say that we apply the principle of Ishto Kegufo, that really we generally only apply to the halacha of a Beis Din? Why would we apply that here to the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah? And therefore the Machzis HaShekel is of the opinion that if a married woman is going to be home with her husband and he is going to light, that would not be sufficient. If she wants to do the mitzvah, the Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin, if you want to do it the proper way, she too should light Neiros Chanukah, and she should not rely on that which her husband has done. The Mishnah Berurah adopts the opinion of the Elia Rabbah, and the Mishnah Berurah says that once a husband lights at home, his wife has no further obligation to light, because we can apply the principle of Ishto Kagufo, and that would be good enough. And my father has said on many occasions, the Rav Soloveitchik has pointed out that he finds that very difficult. He said, do you ever say that with regard to any other mitzvah? For example, a woman has an obligation to do some kind of mitzvah throughout the year, to shake lulav. Maybe you'll say she doesn't really have an obligation, but just for argument's sake, would you say if her husband shakes the lulav, it's as if she's shaking the lulav? Would you say that if a husband sits in the sukkah, it's as if she has sat in the sukkah just because ishto kagufo? So who said that should work? The same way we generally apply that mahadrin mina mahadrin means every member of the family should light, why would you say that when it comes to a husband and a wife, it should be any different? Each person, each member of the family has their own obligation, and therefore, Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that the Elia Rabbah is the more correct opinion, and he felt that a married woman should light Neres Chanukah on her own with a bracha, even though her husband is going to be lighting there as well, which is what we do in our home, as per my father's instructions when we got married. And I asked him, why is it that when we got married, you told us that's what we should do, but when I grew up, I never saw my own mother doing this? I always found that to be a very good question. So my father said, well, your mother comes from a very strong tradition on her own, and her family didn't do that, and I don't force my opinion on others. So he allowed my mother to do what she felt was the right thing based on her family's minhag. But, what? Where else do you find such a concept?
Father sits in the sukkah, nobody else has to sit in the sukkah.
No, we don't find such a concept. And that's true. Obviously, it's true. No, obviously it's true. No, because all the other B'nai HaBayis, you don't have any disagreement by any other B'nai HaBayis lighting. Nerushu Beiso means each person lights on behalf of the household, and that would be sufficient for all members of the home.
The argument is you don't find by any other mitzvah,
yeah,
right, that the husband and the wife
have to do separately.
Yet by Hanukkah you do find. It's only in the Mahadran.
Right, but if you're trying to fulfill the Mahadran and a Mahadran, so then the wife should light as well, the same way the rest of the family members light. The mitzvah inherently at the base level is the same, is different. But once you get to the mahadrim and amahadrim, then the nature of the mitzvah changes. So then if the nature of the mitzvah changes for all the other b'nai abayis, why shouldn't it change for the wife as well? The same way that any other family members would have that opportunity to light Neres Chanukah on the road.
In Cleveland, yeah. She lights in the house.
Okay, that's a different story. We're talking about where they're both there. Somebody actually asked me an interesting question this week, and that was, we know that the halacha is you're not allowed to eat at the zman of hadlakas Neres Chanukah, which is something some people are not so careful about. You have to be careful when you come home from work or whatever it is that you're doing. You have to light the Neres Chanukah immediately. Not only that, the Shaar HaTzion writes that within a half an hour before the zman hadlakah, you also should not be engaged in a party, in a meal, because one has to make sure that they pay attention to the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah and do it at the proper time. So what I've told many people in the shul who are having Chanukah parties this week is, as long as you start the party more than 30 minutes before the Zman, that would get you out of the problem, because that's called Hischil Beheter. You started at a time when you were not yet obligated. So what I was asked this week, which was an interesting question, was, you have somebody who is at work, and they don't plan to come home until 8 o'clock, and that's way after the Zman of Hadlakah, which is okay, and they're going to get home, but they wanted to know, they eat dinner at work every night, or they have a, whatever it is, they need to go out to meet somebody at work, and they wanted to know, they haven't yet lit the Neres Chanukah. So would you say that the Isser Achila, would you say that the prohibition to eat before lighting would apply even in a case where I wouldn't be able to perform my mitzvah? I'm here in the office. That's not called Beso. That's not my house. I cannot perform the mitzvah here in my office. The only way I can do my mitzvah is if I go home. But right now I'm not home. I'm still in the office. So maybe you'll say the Isser Achila doesn't set in until I actually go to the office, until I actually leave the office and go home. But until that point, maybe I should say that I have a heter. Now, that does not mean, whatever you're going to come out on this question, it doesn't mean that you should be careless and you should just be running around all over the place when you have a mitzvah in front of you. But if you have a person who is legitimately in the office and that's where they need to be every day of the week until 8 o'clock, maybe you should say that they have a right to eat and the whole institution of the Isser Achila would not apply to them. So I asked my father this week what he thought about that. And he told me that many years ago he heard in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said in such a case, the Isser Achila might not apply, because maybe it would make a lot of sense. If I cannot do the mitzvah anyway right now, then why would you impose upon me an Isser Achila when there's no way for me to fulfill my obligation anyway? So my father told me that he thought that that was a legitimate argument and it was something to rely upon. However, he did mention that a person has to set some sort of reminder. Either the B'nai HaBayis have to remind you or you set an alarm on your cell phone, whatever it might be, that when you get home, you have to remember. Every so often you have a situation where somebody goes to a wedding, you don't come home till 11:30 at night and you forget all about it. It's very easy to forget about the mitzvah of Halakas Neres Chanukah if you don't really make sure in advance to set that reminder. And therefore he said, if you're going to set the reminder and you make sure that in advance you have something in place that is going to be of a reminder to you when you get home that you have to light, perhaps, said Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, there would be no issue of Achila in such a case, because since you cannot fulfill the mitzvah where you are, therefore there would be no prohibition of Achila until you get to a place where the mitzvah can actually be